people just fellowshipping and just talking Buckeyes football and just having an overall good time, a great experience.
With an Ohio Bias presents the 10th Unit Report, post-OSU Spring Game Edition, featuring Garrett Staples. Garrett, we welcome the people into the podcast. How you doing, man, after a big weekend down in Columbus?
Man, you could just feel the excitement. It felt like the whole city and folks from out of town. As I was riding up I-71 from Cincinnati up to Columbus, I saw a lot of OSU tags from Illinois, Texas. I mean, it was a lot of people coming up here to Columbus to see this this new team for 17, and I was very impressed. Some of the things that really stuck out to me, besides the tailgating and everybody, was just a great atmosphere. It was electric. It was an electric atmosphere, a sea of red, and that's the way it should be of scarlet and gray.
Yeah, in this podcast, we're going to just talk about five takeaways each, what happened to the spring game, and then get that full tailgate experience. Garrett was just discussing as he was driving up. He was down there in the midst of the 81,000-plus that took over Columbus, as they do when the Scarlet and Gray play. Garrett, I think the biggest takeaway for me to start this out, and I know this is probably going to be on your list too, we finally got to see Ohio State score some touchdowns. It had been a long time, especially since what happened in the Fiesta Bowl.
Exactly. It really looked like, I mean, you could really see where the offense, it wasn't vanilla, it wasn't bogged down, it wasn't played close to the vest. It was more explosive, like up under Tom Herman. And that, of course, that was on my list. You can feel the handprint of Kevin Wilson on this offense already. It's aggressive, and he takes shots. Saw a few trick plays out there already. This is going to be an exciting offense to watch, and I look for record numbers to be put up again.
And that is the big thing that we all are looking forward to. I think that's a key thing there you talked about. This might be a situation where Urban Meyer can definitely trust that offense. Like you said, when he had Tom Herman there's more of a hands-off approach where he can let Kevin Wilson really get his hands around that offense and call it the way that he wants to, while Urban Meyer just steers the full ship for the Ohio State Buckeyes. So that definitely is always a good thing to have there. When we talk about that offense too, man, one of the things that's impressive, we know they threw the ball around. We'll get to that because people are already going crazy with quarterback controversy, but we know JT Barrett's going to be the starter. And it was good to see him look like he had some trust in the wide receivers, and especially with Paris Campbell and also McLaren and KJ Hill.
The wide receiver course, man, was a revamp. I mean, I think last year, side of Noah Brown, we really didn't see anyone who could really get any separation from the defensive backs. And oh my goodness, I mean, the names that you just named, from Paris Campbell to Dixon to Benjamin Victor, I mean, it was just like a night and day experience where you just saw separation and explosiveness and wide receivers getting away from defensive backs. And that'll lead me into a couple comments with the younger DBs who got to fill all these holes as far as DBU is concerned going to the NFL draft from Ohio State in the upcoming draft this year.
These guys are wide open, so it does make you worry a little bit about that secondary coverage.
Exactly.
But the one big takeaway to me, Garrett, was the size of some of these early enrollees. They might have been out of position a little bit at times, and you can shore that up here as we get, you know, back to the summer and they get back to practicing in August. But, you know, you can't teach size. And Sheffield and Wade, these kids are bigger than I expected, bigger than the numbers projected when they came in.
The one thing I do trust is in our defensive back coaches, and especially with Kerry Coombs. He will have those guys ready, and they will learn technique. And those are fixes, like you said, throughout the spring, and especially during the dog days of summer camp leading into fall. Those things will get corrected. And you know, like I said, you know, you got to learn on the fly with these younger guys. So I'm not too concerned, but you could really see the size and athleticism, and they'll be able to go up against the jump ball or type receivers that can play basketball this season. You know, like when we played Clemson, you could see where we struggled a little bit DB-wise, but we really have some athletes coming in the defensive backfield.
We talk about coverage, too. We saw the linebackers and the DBs up front. Larry Johnson, everybody's touting that rotation possibly of eight guys who could make an impact on that defensive line. But we saw Sam Hubbard drop back in coverage a lot. That might be something that we see a lot. And then Jalen Holmes, not only making plays on the field during the spring game, but making the big play and proposing to his girlfriend on the sideline during the middle of the game.
That's funny. I have a friend, and that's actually her nephew in Jalen Holmes. So I'm just happy for the guy. And I'm not sure if you were following, you know, those guys out in Columbus. They do great coverage on the Buckeyes with 11 Warriors. One of the things they were saying, just because of how the depth, like you just mentioned before, the depth of the defensive line, there might be some situations where we're talking some Buddy Ryan ball, where you're talking about a bare defense, putting in five defensive linemen to get some of these guys more snaps and more reps during the game.
And not to be lost with the addition of Kevin Wilson, but Greg Schiano takes over full-time with the departure of Luke Fickell down to the Cincinnati Bearcats. But Schiano is known to be innovative like that. We know what he did with Rutgers and even what he did at the NFL with the defense with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The defense wasn't the problem with the Buccaneers. It was the scoring. But that's a story for another podcast, Garrett. It's exciting to see that defense. The one guy that we didn't see, Brandon Browning, who had the torn labrum, he'll be back in the fall, so that defense will still have more talent coming.
I think Larry Johnson lacked a little bit of that last season, and it showed just where the Buckeyes, you know, normally the depth, just didn't have that true depth. And now he's going to have an abundance of talent along that defensive line. And one thing about Larry Johnson is he gets the most out of his defensive line. I think it's a great problem to have. That's what you need. Like I always say, you went up front in the trenches on the defensive line and offensive line. And I was impressed with both lines defensively. And, I thought that was a weak point for the Buckeyes last season, the offensive line, especially at the tackle positions. And it really looked to be improved. So I'm really happy with both lines. And that's where you win in football.
I think everybody in Buckeye Nation has been maybe too hard on, but it was warranted with some bad performances. We did not have to put the magnifying glass or even think about the offensive line. They look very well, opening up holes. And Isaiah Prince, you know, looks to be improving, so the hard work seems to be paying off.
Guy, highly recruited and highly touted out of Maryland, Isaiah Prince. And, you know, Michael Jordan, he got his name called once, I think, for ill-advised play or false start or something. But overall, you could just really see from the freshman year to the sophomore year the improvement. You know, and that's hard as a true freshman to start. You know, but you could really see the improvement. It was really like night and day. So I really look for us to get back to that spread offense with the power running game, setting you up for the play-action passing game, Kevin Wilson. I saw more of some of the slants, and I saw some more. Not just those. It was so predictable, the offense last year, where it was just a button hook for the wide receivers, and now that's not the case. I saw vertical routes. I saw slants. I saw posts. I saw the whole route tree being ran. It's going to be an explosive passing attack. And Urban Meyer, if you remember after that Clemson game, as we do, one thing he made us sure, and he assured us all of, he said, hey, man, we're going to open up this passing attack, and I will address it. And it really looks to be addressed.
We'll get to the passing attack, but it also starts up front with those guys blocking and opening up holes. Mike Weber Jr. looked stronger, even pass blocking. And then also, too, the rain product, DeMario McCall looked like a great change of pace and exploded out there. We might even have a possible thunder and lightning situation.
And I put next to DeMario McCall, this is what I put. even if Mike Weber Jr. is or Mike Weber is at the starting tailback, this guy put DeMario McCall next Percy Harvin with a question mark. That's how he looked to me on the field. He just looked like he was in another gear compared to everybody else. You know, so I'm really excited for this kid, and I mean he's just explosive, man. Man, oh man.
We know how physical the season can be, so it's great to have that depth. And one other guy that can fill that role, God forbid something happens to the talent that starts, but he looked very impressive. And I know it's only a spring game, but he made some great catches, and that was one, Johnny Dixon.
Great separation away from defenders, and that's what you want. And I really think that's what the Buckeyes lacked from their wide receiving corps last season. I don't know if it was the route tree or which was very predictable last year. Like I said, button hooking, that was pretty much it. But, I mean, you saw vertical fly pattern getting down the field. And I look at it like this, you know, JT, he's going to have time this year. So normally when he gets a clean pocket, he can let it rip. And he's going to have to be accurate with his downfield ball because guys are going to be open. Like you mentioned, just impressed with Dixon and his speed and separation.
Let's get to what everybody's going crazy about. You know, I went crazy about those DBs, man. I'm telling you, that the kid from Texas, Jeffrey Okuda, and then, you know,
yes.
Isaiah Pryor. I mean, it's just the size. But so I think DBU's in good hands. But JT Barrett, we saw Dwayne Haskins come in, and then I love – the Plains, Ohio product. Everybody down there in Athens County loves him. Joe Burrow time was even more excellent than it was last year in this OSU spring game.
Put this out here. If we have any slip-ups where, you know, sometimes JT can be afraid to where to go with the ball, and just when I was in the stands with a couple of guys, they were saying, man, you know, we may not get to see these kids again for the rest of the season, but if we do, I think we're even in better hands. I mean, these kids were really throwing the backups as far as Dwayne Haskins and Joe Burrow. They were threading the needle, putting the ball on the money where only the receiver could get it. And, I mean, they're doing this at early ages. So I really feel like, you know, this is either going to make or break JT his senior year because the pressure is on because those kids look fantastic. Even Tate Martell for that quarterback sneak where he about juked two defenders to run into the end zone. All three quarterbacks were just impressive. And like, you know, I looked on one site with 11 Warriors where they were saying you might have that situation where you had a Cardale, you had a JT, and a Braxton Miller. That's the kind of situation that it looks like with our quarterbacks that we're bringing in to this season.
Well, that's always a good problem to have. It sent some Buckeyes to the hospital and others of us grasping for our pain medication to relieve the stress, but definitely something that you'd rather have more talent and not be like per don't and not have any talent. So, you know, you take the talent when you can get it. How did you feel about the Buckeyes not going tackling, but then, you know, that competition came out and we saw a little bit of contact there in the second half?
You know, from a fan standpoint, you want to see them come out there and you want to see them hit, but I was okay with it. I mean, you know, the college football season now is a lot deeper when you talk about guys, especially upperclassmen, playing in the playoffs, that kind of sort of thing. You know, you're almost getting into more of a NFL-style schedule. So with that being said, Urban Meyer, and I trust the coaching staff, Mickey Mariotti, the strength coach and those guys, you know, just preserving some of these upperclassmen and limiting some of their the hitting involved and letting the younger guys hit and get a taste of everything. So I was okay with what they did because mainly it really looked like the starters, they really didn't do as much hitting, but the younger pups, the freshmen, the early enrollees, they let them hit, you know, to get a taste of things. So I'm fine with that.
Garrett, tell us about the tailgate experience. You know, some of us had to watch it from the Big Ten Network and just hear Glenn Mason and whoever the other guy, I forget his name, that was doing the coverage. not even be able to recognize the difference between Cardale Jones and Troy Smith. So that's what we were subjected to. But you were in the mix with everybody down there in Columbus. Just give us a little taste of how it was to tailgate.
It was a who's who of, recent Buckeyes for the spring game. And just the atmosphere. You had tents, trailers set up. You would have thought it was a regular season game. The atmosphere, kibasi, bratwurst, hot dogs, hamburgers. It was just a great experience. Good drinks and people just fellowshipping and just talking Buckeyes football and just having an overall good time, a great experience. The weather, you had a little slight rain that kind of cooled things off, but then once you got in the stadium, the sun broke and it warmed up, and it just turned out to be a beautiful day, a great experience.
God loves football. God loves Ohio State. I think the best and most important score, Garrett, was the last touchdown, and that was won by Jacob Jarvis. The story is well known about the young man who had been a big part of the national championship run. A very well known Jacob Jarvis, became real good friends with Jake Stonebrenner, and that friendship led to the whole Buckeye team adopting him. And this is not one of those situations where you see, Garrett, in sports where sometimes, it just lasts for a year or so. This friendship has lasted longer than that with the Buckeye program, and I thought no better way to end that spring game. It was a surprise to me, and almost brought a tear to a lot of Buckeye fans' eyes. But to see him dab after that touchdown definitely put the cherry on top of a great day for the Scarlet and Gray.
A great moment. It just shows you what the Buckeyes are about, what Urban Meyer is about, and it was just a classy move, and you wouldn't expect anything else from Ohio State, and it was a tearjerker too as well. I definitely agree.
And then we can't leave this podcast without, I'm not going to mention all the names, but we know there was a lot of recruits in the house. Some have already committed, but I don't know how you would not want to go to Ohio State after seeing that scene of 81,000 plus. And also, too, seeing the honorary coaches, Phil Knight, the CEO, creator of all things Nike, the swoosh, and, of course, the great, the incomparable Dr. Coach Lou Holtz on the sidelines.
I don't know if you're any hip-hop fans, but what's my guy, DJ Khaled, say? He says it's cloth talk. And, that's what we're talking when you're talking Phil Knight and Nike and just uniforms, that sort of thing. That's the CEO of Nike. It's a big time guy, and that was a great honorary person to have there. And just Lou Holtz, I've always liked Lou Holtz, legendary coach, Hall of Fame coach, great guy, TV personality, and the special atmosphere. It was just what you would expect. You even had, you had Bill Belichick there at one point, I believe. He was there for Pro Day, and it was just a testament where, him and Sean Payton, where the guys, the way they train, they train these guys up there in Columbus for pro ready for the NFL. Sean Payton said that in a quote, once they go to Ohio State, I know they're ready for the NFL. And you can look at a Michael Thomas, you can look at a Von Bell that are right on the Saints roster right now, and they're contributing and playing well and starting.
And you can also look at the two gentlemen. A lot of Buckeyes were recognized, but one of the biggest ovations, of course, was for Ezekiel Elliott and Joey Bosa. And we know what they did in the NFL for their respective teams. So definitely a huge impact on the NFL. Gary, what you want to leave the people with as your thoughts as we're waiting a long time? You think about the one thing that makes you bittersweet about the spring game is that you got to wait much longer for regular football in the fall.
Exactly. I just, the Buckeyes, as far as their secondary, this is a great opportunity for them just to get better over the summer, because you got a lot of younger guys who are going to have to step in and fill in for shoes, as true freshmen. That's going to be interesting. But I know Kerry Coombs, he'll get those guys coached up and have them ready to go. I think we should have one of the best defensive lines in the nation, and just, oh my goodness, man, the explosiveness. Excuse me, under Kevin Wilson, and his playbook is wow. It just makes you say wow. That's all I can say. Just look for an explosive offense. I think they should be averaging in the 30s with this offense under Kevin Wilson. If you think about it, Kevin Wilson came over from Indiana, and they weren't getting 4 stars and 5 stars across the board like Ohio State is getting. You give Kevin Wilson this kind of talent, you know, at his disposal, and I look for us to be easy on average in the 30s, not having some 40 and 50 point nights with this offense.
Well, that's going to have to hold you over until the Buckeyes kick off. We'll be back in the summer with a couple podcasts as August practice kicks off. We'll be talking everything Buckeye on the 10th Unit Report. But if you need more With an Ohio Bias podcast, you can always go to withanohiobias.com. You can find the podcast on the Stitcher app and iTunes. All you have to do is search With an Ohio Bias. You can also listen on our YouTube channel. We have snippets if you found us there. Thank you for listening. Make sure you're following us at With an Ohio Bias on Twitter, and definitely give us a like on Facebook, With an Ohio Bias. As always, go Buckeyes. OH, Garrett.
IO.